اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار يا أبا عبد الله. لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة أن دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة أن قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشيائهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سلمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة، ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبا، ولعن الله ابن مرجان، ولعن الله عمر بن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي، لقد عظم مصابي بك، فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة يا أبا عبد الله، إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشياعكم، برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالاة وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحرب وبالبراءة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم، فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة، وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله، وأن يرزقني طلب ثاركم مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم، وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبة، مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد، ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن يوم عاشوراء يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد، اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد بن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. ويوم عاشوراء يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعنة منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا، ثم لعن الثانية والثالثة والرابع. اللهم لعن يزيد خامسا، ولعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم. الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود، وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. صلوات.
Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. We offer our condolences to the Imam of our time, ajallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, in these days of mourning for our Lady Sakina salamullah alayha. We will be commemorating the martyrdom of Lady Sakina salamullah alayha tonight and tomorrow at 8:15 p.m. If you would like to listen to the speech in your car, please tune your radio to 90.5 FM to listen in. As a reminder, all our guests are required to abide by the following guidelines for our drive-in sessions. Please observe 6 feet physical distance and wear a face mask outside your car at all times. If you would like to leave your car for the speech or latmiya, please stay on the X's marked on the ground. Please be sure to park your vehicle in the spots marked on the ground. If possible, please have your children stay inside the car and away from the back parking lot due to safety concerns. If you would like to sponsor a program, we have openings available. Please speak to a volunteer at the donation table if you would like to sign up. We also have a sanitizing station at the entrance for your convenience. The indoor facility will be limited to bathroom use only on an individual basis. For those who would like to tune into these sessions remotely, our live streams can be found on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram Live at Al-Walaya Everywhere. If you would like to be notified in advance of our latest programming, you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter by giving your email address to a volunteer, and like and follow Al-Walaya on the aforementioned social media platforms. Please recite a Fatiha for the Shuhada of Islam, the Marhumin named in our memorial plaque, and for all Marhumin. With that, I would like to invite Hujjatul Islam Sheikh Hamza Sodagar to deliver his message. Salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite a salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. The purpose of commemorating the martyrdom of one of the children of Karbala, in terms of age, that is, a young soldier of Islam, a female soldier of Islam at a young age, who was involved in the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn and sacrificed her life for Islam, the purpose of commemorating this shahida particularly should be along the same lines as commemorating the Shuhada of Karbala, who were martyred in Karbala on the day of Ashura, and the ones who were martyred afterwards but were connected to that, like the martyrdom of the Lady Zainab Salamullahi Alayha in the month of Rajab on the 15th, when we commemorate that, we should understand those commemorations to be in line with the same movement. The reason is, obviously, they sacrificed their lives for this movement. When we commemorate them, if we want to honor them, honor their struggle, honor their efforts, we must speak of and understand their efforts in the context of the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn and Karbala and Ashura. Otherwise, I don't think we are truly honoring them. The same way that if we hold programs for Imam al-Husayn, for Ashura, for Karbala, but we don't speak of, we don't continue, we don't cover what Imam al-Husayn did in order for that movement to continue today, that's not truly honoring Imam al-Husayn. Whether we understand that or not is a different thing. The truth is, if we hold a program that either is not in line with that movement, is not continuing that movement today, or God forbid, even worse, is in direct contrast and conflict with Abu Abdullah's movement, and that gathering is not a gathering for Imam al-Hussein, whether we know it or not. One of the things that we need to discuss in the context of the Shahada, the martyrdom of the daughter, the young daughter of Imam al-Hussein, that was martyred after a difficult journey to Karbala, and a more difficult journey from Karbala to Kufa, and from Kufa towards Sham, going all around the various cities and receiving treatment in those cities, and on the way from the soldiers of Yazid, La'natullah alayh. There's a movement today trying to suggest that Yazid should not be cursed. La'natullah alayh. The Ahlul Bayt have specifically mentioned this nasty, ugly image that portrayed himself as the Khalifa of the Prophet. They've specifically mentioned him for La'an, that must continue. Ziyarat Ashura needs to be recited with the La'an on Abu Sufyan, on Muawiyah, and on Yazid. La'anatullah alayhim. The Ahlul Bayt have mentioned them specifically. Those whom the Ahlul Bayt mentioned specifically with La'an, there's a reason for it. We must continue doing La'an openly with those names. The Muslimin throughout history have not honored or respected Yazid. Yazid has been seen as a mal'oon. That's why you rarely have, after Yazid ibn Muawiyah, you rarely have anyone named Yazid. Whereas prior to that, that was a relatively more common name amongst the Arabs. Or Shimr, la'natullah alayh. Those are names that after the event of Ashura, amongst all Muslimin, there were hated names. The Ahlul Bayt created that culture with Ziyarat Ashura and other terms, and by showing how ugly they are behind that disguise of being the Khalifa of Rasulullah, that must continue. Those who are trying to make Muslimin who are not familiar with the path of the Ahlul Bayt and who are not on that path, for them to start revering these ugly figures as heroes of the Muslimin, those are the hands of the Kuffar, the hands of the United States and the CIA. Even if it shows itself in Pakistan, it has nothing to do with the Pakistani people or even the Pakistani ulama. The Pakistani of ulama have heard Ziyarat Ashura, and they've been part of it, Sunni and Shia, for not years or decades, for centuries. This new development is the hand of the devil himself, which is the Shayateen of the West, the CIA, Mossad, and these people who are plotting, and their puppets in the region, Al-Saud. All the ugly figures, ugly things attributed to Islam are being pulled out of whatever random book in history that's been fabricated, creating further fabrications to divert the path of Islam, similar to what the Umayyads did. These people whose names are Muslim and they act as Khadim al-Haramain al-Sharifain, La'anatullah alayhim ajma'een. And whoever follows them and is paid by them, they're all working for the same devil. Anyhow, one of the things that needs to be mentioned and discussed
in the context of the martyrdom of this young soldier of Imam al-Hussein who went through that difficult journey from Medina to Karbala, from there to Kufa and all around to Sham. And there, after all those difficulties and hardships of various forms, the physical difficulties were the easiest parts of the difficulties that she faced. The trauma, the pressure that was on her due to the various things that were done was greater than the physical harm of the beatings that she took. And all in all, that led to her martyrdom in Sham. One of the things we need to be reminded of, which is important, is that human beings should not be understood as people without understanding, without a sense of responsibility, without a role in the Islamic movement if they are younger than a certain age. This is a very important point that we need to understand here. She is 3 or 4 years of age. She is part of the soldiers of Imam al-Hussein. A 3-year-old, a 4-year-old can be a soldier of Islam. This is important. It needs to be focused on. And there are deep discussions of what we call child upbringing that we need to correct even the title of that. Our understanding of children, our approach towards children, our treatment of children has got to change as mu'mineen. If we want a prosperous Muslim community, our treatment of children has got to change, and our treatment of children can only change if our perception of children changes. As long as we think children don't understand, children can't understand, lie to them in order to get the outcome you're interested in their behavior, them listening to you, them obeying you the way you want as a parent or as another adult there, taking advantage of their weakness, not in intellect, which of course a child's understanding is not the same as an adult, but sometimes some children have understandings that are stronger than adults of ages 40 and above. But to consider a child not to have understanding, and therefore in the way we speak to them, and the way we talk to them, and the way we order them, and the way we expect them to behave towards us, towards what we tell them, to be as slaves. And if they don't obey and behave in that way, for us to take measures against that. These are all the way we treat children, and it's rooted in the way we perceive and understand children. That needs to change. There's little that we know of in terms of the details of the treatment that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein salamullah alayh has given his children. And for that matter, there's little detail historically in terms of generally the Ahlul Bayt's treatment of their children. One of the ways we can understand what their treatment of their children and children in general, those some details that have been mentioned here and there, they're scattered. They need to be gathered together for us to learn from that. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet. At least I haven't seen that. But when you see those anecdotal accounts, and then besides that, the accounts of the behavior of these children, we compare that to what we see as the behavior of children, we see that, or we can understand that part of the reason why that child behaves differently is because the way, as we call it, the parent has raised that child. And I will reword it, the relationship between the parent and the child has a significant role, but is not the only element there that plays a role in a difference in the behavior of this child compared to other children. There are a few things that we know of in regards to this lady, salamullahi alayha, this lady that we go to. Let me mention some of these ideas to help us come to a point in understanding that we can share on this topic. We correctly, those of us who do this, and I encourage those who don't to start doing this, we go to this lady for shafa'a, for tawassul. We go to her and ask her for difficult things. And some ask her for material things, some ask her for spiritual things. And I would encourage doing more of the second. Rightfully so. And anyone who's tried this, including myself, I will tell you that it definitely works. It's effective. The reason is that she is a shafi'ah. She is someone worthy of shafa'ah. The Quran tells us shafa'ah is not something that just anyone can do. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who can do shafa'ah in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except with His idhn? In another verse, speaking of the angels, لا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى, or يشفعون لمن ارتضى. I'm not too sure of if I'm mixing up one of those two wordings. It's not both of them. One of them is accurate or more accurate compared to the other. They only do shafa'ah towards those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. The idhn of shafa'ah. Whom will do shafa'ah is something that God permits. God gives that to a person. And that person, He makes them and gives them the worthiness, the greatness, the status with Him. We read in Ziyarat Ashura, to elevate us to Maqam al-Mahmud lakum inda Allah, as we ask the Ahlul Bayt there. Or we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Ahlul Bayt. Maqam al-Mahmud has been mentioned to be the position, the status of shafa'ah. The person that God allows for them to be and gives permission to be a shafi' or a shafi'ah, someone who intercedes, they've got to have a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to be worthy of doing shafa'ah, performing intercession. And then the one they intercede for has also got to be someone that God permits them. They don't just do shafa'ah for anyone. They only intercede for those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. The first part of this is more important in our discussion here. If the lady Sakina or Ruqayya, there's different names that are used, I don't want to get into that. It's not important. We know who we're referring to. Whether historically she was referred to as Ruqayya or Fatima or Sakina is not the important thing, and maybe all three at some point, perhaps. That shouldn't be bogging us down here. We're referring to a young daughter of Imam al-Hussein. Some have said she's three, others have said she's four. This lady was buried in Sham. If she's able to do shafa'ah, if you can ask her, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when she asks, and the person asking is someone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the shafa'ah of that intermediary, that shafi'ah, that person asking also is worthy, as we mentioned according to the Quran. If her shafa'ah is effective, Allah has given her the rank of and the position of shafa'ah, that means in those 3 or 4 years of age, this young girl has reached a level that many adults in their lives from 20 and above, those who've died at ages 20, 30, 40, 50, 80, 90, 100, this girl of 3 or 4 years of age has been able to ascend beyond them. And beyond, we're not referring to the non-believers, or we're talking about good believers. She has been able to ascend above them. It's not about the relationship, the physical, material relationship, the blood relationship, the genetic relationship she has with Imam al-Hussein. She's not the only person. We've mentioned this a number of times. There are those who've had similar relationships with each or many of the imams. Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Genetically, his father is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Doesn't make him a person worthy of shafa'ah, and he lived much more than she did, and he experienced things and saw things more than this young daughter of Imam al-Hussein did. Yet this young 3 or 4 year old is able to ascend to the rank of shafa'ah, and that 70, 80 year old man, when he died, perhaps that was his age, did not even get close to that. No, unfortunately he deviated. It's not about the genetics. It's about what she did, who she was. We have got to change the way we look at children. If a 3 or 4 year old can accomplish that, that means we need to keep our ears and eyes open with our offspring, with the children in our community. We need to see a child to have the potential to reach that rank at that age. We need to see a child to be able to carry the burden of, with her choice, not all the children did what she did, not all of them ended in the shahada that she had. There were other children there, girls and boys. They didn't accomplish what she did with their choice, but allow them to make that choice. See them as human beings. Judging a child as, oh, they can't understand, they don't understand, you don't even want to hear, listen, or see the potentials of this person. We don't see them as human beings. Unfortunately, I'll have to say it in that way. It doesn't seem like we see, because a human being is a being with intelligence, with intellect, with understanding. When a parent lies to their child to get them to behave in a certain way, whatever that may be, it means I don't consider them intelligent. Anyone who lies to another does not consider the other person, the other party, intelligent.
Because if they're intelligent, one point or another, they're going to realize you lied to them. You don't want that. And then constantly and frequently and not caring, it shows we're not. We don't see them as human beings with understanding, with intelligence. This is one important matter that I think we should learn. That from the behavior of this girl, the little we know, the basics we know, it tells us that this young girl was able to ascend one of the measures, one of the elements involved in her upbringing, in her reaching that status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the way the adults around her, and specifically we know of Imam al-Husayn and her mother. What we can know more for sure is Imam al-Husayn himself, because he's ma'soom. The treatment we get is a type of treatment that would allow a 3 or 4 year old up to that age, because that's when she reaches the rank of shahada. She becomes a martyr. She's able to ascend. As a parent, as adults dealing with children in the community, the children of Muslimin, those who are responsible in centers to plan things, those who teach children, those who speak to children, they want to so-called give them discipline or whatever. I dislike that, I almost despise that term, because it's not an Islamic term. That came from the West, and we have taken it to be a good thing, unfortunately. We don't have that. In the name of that, we give ourselves the right to order children around, make them behave in ways that we want, and then we call that discipline or whatever that seems to have a good meaning. All those involved with children, parents, community leaders, teachers, those who are involved with planning Islamic activities for children, they should think about this, they should understand this. I have a lot of memories, a lot of instances in mind where we have seen the behavior towards children completely unacceptable. From people that seem to be religious, you want to come here and commemorate the martyrdom of a 3 or 4 year old. If we were in Karbala, if we were in Sham, and we would see the lady Zainab salamullahi alayha, and we would see the other women there, and we would see a 3 or 4 year old, how would we treat that 3 or 4 year old? Now on her martyrdom, we're coming here beating our chest, all that honor and so on and so forth. If we would have seen a 3 or 4 year old, we wouldn't even consider them around. Don't completely neglect them. Don't even see them. This isn't right. If we want to commemorate Lady Sakina or Ruqayya salamullahi alayha, we've got to change our attitude, our perception of who children are. We don't have a right. Who gave us a right? Another area that is important for us to speak of, learn of in the context of commemorating the Lady Sakina salamullahi alayha, is specifically for girls. One is for children in general that we spoke of, boys, girls. The other thing is specifically for girls, for sisters, for females. She is a shafi'a at that age. And it's a she, it's a female we're talking about. A girl who was part of the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, one of the soldiers of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, along with all the women.
They were the soldiers of Islam there. Their behavior was fighting in jihad fi sabilillah.
We should know that women, girls have that ability. We don't see that generally in the Muslim community, in the Shia community, in various, unfortunately, excuses. I was watching, there was a new video released, a documentary of a session that Ayatollah Khamenei had with some of those veterans of the war, the international war against Islam that is called the Iran-Iraq war. It wasn't Iran-Iraq war. It was the shayateen within the borders that are referred to as Iraq, which are few. And the greater shayateen, the east and the west of the time, the USSR and the US and all their allies against the Muslimin on this side, who consisted of mu'mineen from various countries. Go and read about this and study it. I have visited the grave. I regularly, relatively, used to visit the grave of a French shaheed of this war. A brother who converted to Islam at an early age, came to Qom for studies, went to the battlefields. He wasn't an Iranian, and he didn't go fighting Iraqi people. He realized this is a war between Islam and Kufr. Saddam is the puppet that the Kuffar are using. He himself is one of them. Whatever he called himself is not important. He definitely was of the Kuffar. And then he was their puppet. The others behind the scene were the main ones. He didn't have, well, what technology did he have? What type of development did he bring to Iraq? Even whatever construction that was there, you've seen. Right after Saddam fell, we went to Iraq. We traveled from, we entered the border on land from Shalamcha in Iran, went to Basra, from there to Karbala. Whatever bridges, roads, none of that was allowed for the Iraqi people to build. All of that was imported. The little that was done during his era, he didn't have any ability to. It was all given to him. Warfare was given to him. By whom? By these people. These people that talk about human rights, that talk about why criminals are sentenced to death by Islam, and why is that carried out by the Islamic Republic, are the same ones that supplied Saddam with biological weapons that Saddam did not have the intelligence to perceive what it is. They gave it to him to use on innocent women and children of both sides of the border. Iranian cities were bombed. Cities, not war fronts, cities were gassed. And Iraqi cities were gassed. Halabja, the Kurdish region of Iraq. My teacher visited that city. We're remembering Sakina salamullahi alayha, or Ruqayya salamullahi alayha. Young girl, he said, his beard had grown entirely gray, pretty much, maybe a few exceptions. And he was only in his 40s, a teacher of mine in Qom. He said, I think it's the effect of seeing what happened in Halabja. He said, I went there after the gassing. And the images are just very difficult to take. So I saw two young little angels, girls, hugging each other. And they had died in that state. It was gassed the way it was used. Who gave it to them? These Europeans in their suits, they all supplied it. They developed that inhuman technology, supplied it to this person that later on they lied to the world that they want to take him out because of who he is. They made him who he is and was. He didn't have any ability. These veterans of that war, of the various nationalities. Iraqis fought against Saddam in that war on both sides of the border. Afghans fought against Saddam in that war. Muslimin, anyone who understood that this is a war against Kufr and the Kufar are fighting Islam, they went there and they helped Islam. Anyway, these veterans were there with the leader. And some of them were sisters. These are soldiers. They were soldiers. Now they're older in their age. They were soldiers in that war, doing whatever they were able and capable of, leaving their hometowns as teenagers and young adults. And I literally mean teenagers, 13, 14, 15, 17, 18-year-olds, brothers, sisters. Now they're older than their age. They're coming and visiting Ayatollah Khamenei. One of the sisters spoke. This line is important. The perception that we have of women. We're talking about this. How we as Muslim community look at girls and women and their abilities, their capabilities, what they are capable of doing. We limit that. It's not true. It is a wrong limitation we have in our minds. And it is a form of oppression. We've got to change this. This lady says that the memory she's giving, the session is these veterans that are now talking about the war and explaining to the people what happened. One of them is a sister. She speaks. She says, you came, she refers to Ayatollah Khamenei, you came to the region that I was in the Kurdistan of Iran, a city called Dizli. A town, I should say, not a city. A pretty small town. And it was close. That was one of the front lines. This sister was there. People lived there. Saddam used to bomb it. Different things happening. She talks of this memory. She says, when you came there, they asked the sisters to go in, obviously a session, people are coming, they're present, and the leader at that time is the president, or perhaps not even the president, before his presidency is going over there. And they want, you know, some of the soldiers, some of the people that are helping to go and visit. She said, I didn't want to come. And why? She says, because I was afraid. I was afraid. My family was not okay with me being there because of the dangers. They said, okay, if you want to go and fight, then don't go to Kurdistan. It's more dangerous there because of the internal elements that were being supplied by the Westerners again. There were, unfortunately, internal movements, people within the Islamic Republic, the borders, that were being organized against the Islamic Republic. So it made it more difficult in the south, in Khuzestan. They didn't have that problem. She said, my family was not okay with me being there. They would say, okay, if you want to go down south, come back home and go down south and fight over there. Be involved with the war over there. I was afraid that if I come and meet you, you're going to tell me, leave. You shouldn't be here. Girls shouldn't be here. Women shouldn't be here. This is too dangerous for women. Men, okay, they have to. But women, don't stay. I was afraid you're going to be saying that. So I didn't come. I sent someone else. Then you stayed. Then there was the bombing. This very severe bombing happened of the area when Ayatollah Khamenei was there. She says, I thought at one point that we lost you even. Alhamdulillah, that didn't happen. But then afterward, I was working in the morning, the next day, I guess, on something. This one of these Kurdish ladies came to me and said, they were Sunni in that area, they're Sunni. And they referred to their ulama as Mamusta. She said, this lady came to me and said, your Mamusta wants to speak to you. And she said, well, this time it was a call directly, so I had to go there. She said, it was a few of us, the sisters, the women that were there. And she says, you spoke to us for 2 or 3 minutes there. And you those 2-3 minutes gave us the strength and the warmth to stay there until the end of the war. Those words were this. Say, may Allah bless you all. This is where you need to be. In the south, many people are going and helping. These are areas that people are not coming to help. And may Allah reward you, continue your great work. Said, that's what gave us. The reason why she had that fear of seeing Ayatollah Khamenei is because what she knows, a lot of people think of women. Amongst the revolutionaries, what she hears from a mujtahid at the time, who will later on become the leader and the marja' of the Muslimin, is the view of Islam. He encourages them. He doesn't say, what are you guys doing here? You women, get back. Why are you even here? Go back home, get married, do this. Oh, may Allah bless you. You're doing great jihad here. Stay here if you can. Allah will reward you. This is what Islam says. Not force them, but they have the potential. If someone chooses, don't tell them, no, you can't. That's not your job. You're not supposed to. We're commemorating the shahada of a 3-year-old, 4-year-old. She fought against kufr, that she became a shahida at that young age. When you mourn for Sakina, for Ruqayya, when you shed tears for her, understand who you are shedding your tears for. Allow that to change our perception. And then when we deal with women, when we deal with little girls, when we're talking about their development, what they want to do for Islam, helping them understand that. Don't look at our women, our girls, in a way where we don't see them capable of accomplishing these things. This Western notion now that considers accomplishment and success as being having some degree, being a doctor or being this or that, those aren't bad. Those are things that are women are fully capable of. If they choose to go in those fields and serve Islam in those ways, perfectly fine. It's more than that. The limitations that we put in our wrong mindsets, and then we attribute that to Islam about what women are supposed to do, what their role is. It's not from Islam. It's not from Islam. Where do we have? We've had women that actually fought. The sister I was speaking of was not fighting in the battlefield with a gun, although at some points maybe she had to do that as well. She was helping with different. The war is not only the fighting, the literally the fighting with weapons and stuff. There's more to it. There needed to be volunteers there. They're putting their lives at risk just like the brothers are. And then at some points they had to even pick up a gun and do something. But most of what she did was not that. It was involvement with the war in different other ways. We've had women fight alongside the Prophet in the Battle of Uhud. Where did the Prophet say, you're not supposed to fight, you're a woman, get out of here? These are the words that we use. Again, this is not to say, okay, let's, I don't know, make an army of women should now go and fight. No, the idea is, where do we get this limitation from? We don't have the right to set limits on where a person can make accomplishments, what direction they. If Islam says something is wrong, they shouldn't move, whoever, men, women, and there are laws that restrict men, there are laws that restrict women in doing certain things. Whatever that is, besides that, no one has any right to set any limits on what a woman can do, what type of accomplishments she can have. And inshallah, in commemorating Lady Sakina Ruqayya Salamullahi Alayha, we are able to make some of these changes, brothers and sisters. This is part of Karbala. Karbala is about correcting the wrongs of the Muslim community in their minds and hearts. The deviation needs to be corrected. This is one of the deviations we have in the Muslim community. This is not from Islam. It's deviation. It's wrong understandings, unfortunately, many times attributed to Islam. And we ask Allah to forgive us and help us to make those changes by the right of this great lady, Salamullahi alayha. Do tawassul to her. Ask her. Allah knows, I personally, one of the greatest gifts that I have in Qum, in terms of guidance of who to go to for learning at least what spiritual wayfaring is, it's from the lady Ruqayya salamullahi alayhi wa sakina. It's from her. I went to Qum a couple of years, going there and seeing different things, not really knowing where to go, who to go to. Different people say different things. You're pretty much lost. It's a deep ocean. You need to know where to find things. We went to the war fronts where the war between Islam and Kufr was happening. All these shuhada were there, and it was Muharram. And one night, these Hausa students that had come to Qum, there was tawassul to the lady Ruqayya and Sakina salamullahi alayha. That changed things. It changed a lot of people. After that trip, then we saw things. Allah brought teachers. We got to know good teachers that prior to that we didn't know. And I know that that is the shafa'ah of the lady Ruqayya salamullahi alayha. It's greater than anything material that you can imagine. Some people have had those experiences too. Those are all great. We should ask even for material things, but what we need more than the material needs we have is to get close to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, to get close to the Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim ajma'een. Do tawassul to her for these matters. It works. She has it. God has given her. Salamullahi alayha. Sallallahu alayk. Ya Aba Abdullah. صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم أيها الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ruhi fidak, ya Mawlai, ya Abu Abdullah. When your head was delivered to your daughter in the ruins of Sham on that night, ya Abu Abdullah, perhaps what you saw reminded you of what you saw when you were a child.
with your mother. Now your daughter resembles your mother. On her face there's marks of slaps. On her arms there are bruises. On her ribs, perhaps, there are beatings and broken ribs. Ya Aba Abdillah, I'm not sure what you thought when you saw that. Perhaps you thought, at this point I can take my daughter with me. But when this happened to my mother, I only observed. I couldn't do anything for her. Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا حسين.
Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Ho tind haseena nahi labda, Baba main rul gaya. Ho tind haseena nahi labda, Baba main rul gaya. ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆ ਇੰਜ ਲੱਥੇ ਹੋਏ ਦੂਰ ਮੇਂਡੇ ਇੰਜ ਲੱਥੇ ਹੋਏ ਦੂਰ ਮੇਂਡੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਕੁਰੋਣਾ ਭੁੱਲ ਗਈਆ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇ ਨਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਕੁਸ਼ਾਮ ਕੇ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਾਦ ਕਨੀਜ਼ੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੰਗਿਆ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਕੁਸ਼ਾਮ ਕੇ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਨੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਬਾਦ ਕਨੀਜ਼ੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੰਗਿਆ ਮੈਂ ਗੈਰਤ ਸੈਯਦਾਂ ਦੀ ਮੈਂ ਗੈਰਤ ਸੈਯਦਾਂ ਦੀ ਹਾਏ ਵੇਲੇ ਮਰ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਉਹ ਜਦਾਂ ਗੱਲ ਤੇਂਡੇ ਜ਼ਰਬਾਂ ਚਲੀਆਂ ਮੈਂ ਕੋਲ ਖਲੋ ਕੇ ਬਹਿੰਦੀ ਰਹੀ ਜਦਾਂ ਗੱਲ ਤੇਂਡੇ ਜ਼ਰਬਾਂ ਚਲੀਆਂ ਮੈਂ ਕੋਲ ਖਲੋ ਕੇ ਬਹਿੰਦੀ ਰਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਸਿਰ ਤੇਂਡਾ ਉਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਿਆ ਸਿਰ ਤੇਂਡਾ ਹਤਰ ਲੈ ਕਰਦੀ ਰਹੀਆਂ ਤੇਂਡਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਹੋ ਜਦੋਂ ਬਖਰੀ ਕੈਦ ਦਾ ਹੁਕਮ ਹੋਇਆ ਮੈਂ ਕੱਲਿਆਂ ਤੰਗ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੋ ਜਦੋਂ ਬਖਰੀ ਕੈਦ ਦਾ ਹੁਕਮ ਹੋਇਆ ਮੈਂ ਕੱਲਿਆਂ ਤੰਗ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਇੰਜ ਰੋਂਦੀ ਮੈਂ ਟੁਰੀਆਂ ਇੰਜ ਰੋਂਦੀ ਮੈਂ ਟੁਰੀਆਂ ਹੋ ਕੈਦਨ ਮੈਂ ਹੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਹੱਦ ਤਾਂ ਪਹਿਲਾ ਪਰ ਸਹਮਕ ਤਲ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੈਂ ਕੁਛ ਮਰ ਲਈਨ ਯਤੀਮੀ ਦਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ ਪਹਿਲਾ ਪਰ ਸਹਮਕ ਤਲ ਵਿੱਚ ਮੈਂ ਕੁਛ ਮਰ ਲਈਨ ਯਤੀਮੀ ਦਾ ਇੰਜ ਜ਼ਾਲਿਮ ਹੱਥ ਚਾਇਆ ਇੰਜ ਜ਼ਾਲਿਮ ਹੱਥ ਚਾਇਆ ਹੋ ਮੈਂ ਖਾਕ ਤੇ ਝੜ ਪਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਹੀ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਹੋ ਜਦੋਂ ਦਾਖਲ ਹੋਇਆ ਸ਼ਾਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ ਭੀੜ ਬਾਜ਼ਾਰੀ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦੀ ਜਦੋਂ ਦਾਖਲ ਹੋਇਆ ਸ਼ਾਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੈ ਭੀੜ ਬਾਜ਼ਾਰੀ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦੀ ਫੁੱਫੀਆਂ ਤੇ ਟੁਰਨ ਕਿਤੇ ਫੁੱਫੀਆਂ ਤੇ ਟੁਰਨ ਕਿਤੇ ਹਰ ਮੈਂ ਰਾਹ ਮੰਗਦੀ ਰਹੀਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਹੀ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਹੋਏ ਇੰਜ ਲੱਥੇ ਹੋਏ ਦੂਰ ਮੇਂਡੇ ਇੰਜ ਲੱਥੇ ਹੋਏ ਦੂਰ ਮੇਂਡੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਕੁਰੋਣਾ ਭੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਸੀਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਬਾਬਾ ਮੈਂ ਰੁੱਲ ਗਈਆਂ ਹਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਪਾਬੰਦ ਨਾ ਹੋ ਆਹੇ ਹਾਏ ਪਾਬੰਦ ਨਾ ਹੋ ਆਹੇ ਰੋਨੇ ਪੈ ਨਾ ਪੈਰਾ ਹੋ ਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਤੀ ਜਿਸ ਕੋ ਨੀਂਦ ਆਤੀ ਸ਼ਬੀਰ ਕੇ ਸੀਨੇ ਪਰ ਤੀ ਜਿਸ ਕੋ ਨੀਂਦ ਆਤੀ ਸ਼ਬੀਰ ਕੇ ਸੀਨੇ ਪਰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਦਰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਦਰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਉਸ ਕੇ ਲੀ ਕਜ਼ਾ ਹੋ ਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਯਾ ਰੱਬ ਕੋਈ ਮਾਸੂਮਾ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਮੈਂ ਨਾ ਤਨਹਾ ਹੋ ਟਕਰਾਏ ਨਾ ਵੋ ਕਿਉਂ ਕਰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਕੀ ਦੀਵਾਰੋਂ ਸੇ ਟਕਰਾਏ ਨਾ ਵੋ ਕਿਉਂ ਕਰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਾ ਕੀ ਦੀਵਾਰੋਂ ਸੇ بھائی سے اور پھوپھی سے ہے بھائی سے اور پھوپھی سے جس کو جدا کیا ہو یا رب کوئی معصوما زندہ میں نہ تنہا ہو یا رب کوئی معصوما زندہ میں نہ تنہا ہو یا رب کوئی معصوما زندہ میں نہ تنہا ہو پابند نہ ہو آہے اے پابند نہ ہو آہے رونے پہ نہ پیرا ہو یا رب کوئی معصوما زندہ میں نہ تنہا ہو یا حسین
صلی اللہ علیک یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیک یا خیر خلق اللہ ویا خاتم النبیین وصفوة المرسلین صلی اللہ علیک یا امیر المؤمنین علی ابن ابی طالب وصی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیک یا فاطمہ سیدۃ نساء العالمین صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا محمد یا حسن ابن علی ایها المجتبى صلی اللہ علیک یا ابا عبد اللہ وعلی الارواح التي حلت بفنائک علیک منی سلام اللہ ابدا ما بقیت وبقی الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى اصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء السلطان ابا الحسن يا علي ابن موسى ايها الرضا المرتضى صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وابنائك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلی اللہ علیک یا مولای یا بقیۃ اللہ یا حجۃ اللہ یا امام الانس والجان روحی فداک عجل اللہ تعالی فرجک وسهل اللہ تعالی مخرجک وظهورک وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته صلوات